Well, if you're taking notes, and I know if you're in level three, you two, one. I know if you're in level one, you are. And if you're not in level one, take notes anyway. And let me tell you why notes are so important to take. Because you remember more of what you write down. So, let's open our Bibles to Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2. And we might be going old school today. But old school is okay. Amen? Amen? Galatians chapter 2. And the churches in this region are being infected with some junk. And how many know that same stuff is going on today? How many know that same stuff is going on today? Sometimes it's different junk. Sometimes it's the same junk. But junk is junk. And the purity of the Word of God is what we need to stick on, stay on. One of the reasons I encourage you to bring your Bible is because I want you to have confidence. Well, there's a lot of reasons. One, I want you to have confidence that the leadership in this church is not just telling you what they think. I mean, Tamara and I are smart, but we're not that smart. Amen? We're not smart enough to tell you how to run your life. Right? We're not smart enough. Listen to me. We're not smart enough, listen to me, to know truth. We need to be careful. Paul says, if they come back and, I need to qualify that. We're not smart enough to know truth outside of the Word of God. Amen? No. We can know truth because God has given it to us and he reveals it to us. Amen? Amen? But what I'm saying is that the reason why the Bible says lean not into your own understanding is because you and I can be deceived. Can we not? I've used this as an example many times because it's a good example. You ever been in your car and you think you're going the right way to a restaurant, but you pass the restaurant? And the more you go, quote unquote, the right way, the farther you're getting going from the restaurant. You're not going the right way. You're going the wrong way. And in your head, you know what? You think you're going the right way. Amen? You ever told your wife, I don't have your phone. I don't have your phone. I don't have your phone. And then she calls her phone and it's ringing in your back pocket. I don't have your ring. Oh. Amen. You ever been looking for your sunglasses?
Oh, yeah.
And they're on your head? Amen. You ever look for your keys and they're in your hands? See, how many know we make mistakes all the time. And so Paul says, let me tell you what the truth is. Let me tell you what the truth about God is. It's so interesting because that passage that says, I know the plans that I have for you. And God is upset because there's people who think that he doesn't have the best plans for us. Do you think that sometimes? Anytime that you think that you that God tells you something in His Word or by His Spirit, and you think that's not a good idea, what you're doing is you're thinking that you're smarter than God. And God says, no. I know the plans I have for you. Don't tell me that I'm not a good God. Don't tell me that I don't know the best for you. Don't tell me that I don't want the best for you. I want the best for you. I know the plans that I have for you. And they're for a future and a hope. They're not for destruction. That's what God says. What I'm saying is, many times, we don't know the truth except that we know this is the truth. Come on, you're acting like you don't know what I'm talking about. You know, you think it should be this way, and you think it should be that way, and many times we get influenced by our friends and our neighbors and our relatives, and they can lead us this way and that way, and that's what's happening here at this church. They're being led astray. And they're being led away from the truth. That's why in Academy Righteousness, what are we doing? We know. I can sit here, I can stand up here, and I can say, listen, I'll give you a money-back guarantee that at the end of the month that you will come up and thank me, that you will be grateful. Here's because I know. You know what? Because I know the Word of God. They focus right here. The Word of God will always direct to the right way. Always direct in the right way. It is true. And here's what I know also. That our perception, our thought of who God is, has to be revealed through His Word. Amen. So there's denominations that are thinking and saying, well, we don't know what to do. Should we do this and should we do that? Should we go this way or should we go that way? And I would say to those denominations the same thing that I'm telling you tonight. Well, how do we know which way to go? Well, what's God say in His Word? Amen. Because God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if those denominations will stay on the Word of God, they'll continue to see people's lives changed. Amen. Listen, bowling is a great thing and a lot of fun. But let me tell you what, bowling's not going to change somebody's life. Bowling isn't going to restore someone's marriage. Does that make sense? The Word of God. God is going to change people's lives. And we don't know the truth of God void from the Word of God. Amen. Come on, somebody say amen to this. The Word of God is how we know what is the truth. And anything void of the Word of God, you are in this mucky, mucky situation, and you're going to need some help because you don't. It is the Word of God is a light into our feet. It's a lamp into our path. It is what illuminates us to know, oh my goodness, this is truth. This is truth. And so whether it's a denomination or whether it's your family or whether it's, you know what, you raising your kids or whether it's you trying to figure out, you know what, how you should, you know, love your wife and honor your husband, whatever it is, you're going to find it in the Word of God. It is going to lead you to truth. And the Galatians who had it at first, they received it with gladness. But then they allowed some people to cause them to go astray. And Paul is writing this letter trying to correct them back to a reality of Jesus Christ. Amen? And specifically, that Jesus Christ is the way of salvation, the way of wholeness, the way of truth. And the old thought of rules is not going to lead you to truth. The whole thing was just set up for you and I. Somebody say set up. It's just a setup for you and I to recognize, oh my goodness, I need Jesus. Amen? But they got caught up. We're going to look at some things tonight in the second chapter that I think will help you. The sermon title is Freedom or Free, Part 3. My first point is this: doing the wrong thing is always the wrong thing. My first point, doing the wrong thing is always the wrong thing. Doing the wrong thing is always the wrong thing. Look at chapter 2, look at verse 11. Now when Peter had come to Antioch, I withstood him to his face. This is Paul writing, and he's saying, you know what, Peter, when he had come to Antioch, I withstood him to his face because he was to be blamed. How many know we are all have the ability to do the wrong thing? For before certain men came from James, he would eat with the Gentiles. But when they came, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing those who were of the circumcision. And the rest of the Jews also played the hypocrite with him, so that even Barnabas was carried away with their hypocrisy. Now, let me unwrap this, what's going on. Peter was Jewish. And in the Jewish religion, they said, there's all these certain rules that you need to do, particularly certain things that you could eat and certain things that you couldn't eat. The diet was really, really, really important. How many ever tried to go on a diet? Okay. How many ever went on a diet for like 3 hours? Amen? Amen. Until you know what? Your mom was baking the Toll House pie, or you know what, or you know, something happened, and you know what, somebody was barbecuing, or whatever it was, and that diet that you were so committed to, you got uncommitted real quick. It happens to all of us. We've all lived there. We've all been there. So Peter was very committed to this strict understanding of eating certain foods and not eating certain foods. But after Jesus came and rose from the dead, they recognized, wait a minute, eating certain food is not going to save me. The whole point of all these laws was just to get you to a place where you're like, I can't do this. And so what they came up with was that realization, and there was a big argument. And they finally came up with the realization that Jesus is what saves us. Faith in Jesus is what saves us, not these rules. It was obviously these rules were just put there to show us how much we needed Jesus. And what God doesn't want is this outward, robotic people who are just following a bunch of rules. They want people that are just in love with him. Now listen, this is really important because it's the word. I'm not saying that obedience to a standard of righteousness is not important. Let me say that again. I'm not in saying that a standard of righteousness, that being obedient to God's standard of righteousness is not important. What I'm saying is, if you're really going to walk in that obedience, you're going to have to do it from the inside out. Does that make sense to anyone? And if all you're given is a bunch of mechanical rules to save you, one, you're not going to be saved, and two, you're not going to follow those rules anyway. You're going to become hypocritical. You're going to act like you're on a diet, but you're going to go, you know, sneak a cookie. Has anybody ever sneaked a cookie on a diet? Okay, and somebody tell the truth here in this place today. You know what I mean? You know, you're sneaking, amen? But God doesn't want you sneaking. He just wants you loving him from the inside out. He wants you, that's the real change. That's how it happens. From the inside out. You know, you can do this research. Listen to me. You can do this research. But if you find organizations out there, and you can find them, they're all over the place, and they are trying to get people, let's just say drinking. They're trying to get people who are alcoholics to not drink. But they're doing it in a manner that doesn't use the word of God. And they're all over the United States. They are very, 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 very marginally successful. They have a lot of non-success. But the companies, the organizations, some of them have started with incredible humility. Some of them still don't have, you know what, they don't have the funding, they don't have a lot of organization, they don't have, but those organizations that say, you need Jesus, they have a high degree of success. Amen? I'm not saying they're not 100% successful because people still make choices, but to try to get someone to stop doing something that is destructive is very difficult if you're trying to do it without changing them from the inside out. Very difficult. And so Peter understands this. Peter was the one, one of the first ones who understood this. Remember when Peter had that dream? And he's like, you know what? Eating a bunch of stuff that he shouldn't eat. And he's like, no, God, no, God. And God reveals to him, no, 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 no. Don't call unclean what I've called clean. This is a new day. We say, oh, yes. Then God was looking to bring in the Gentiles. Well, wait. Be careful with your theology, because I can show you in the Old Testament over and over and over again, God's plan has always been to save the whole world. Amen? Amen. 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 Always. But there was a time when he said, okay, now's the time. And we're going to open this thing up. And we're going to have all these people that are going to understand that I am the way, the truth, and the life. And it's not just, it's going to open the whole thing up. Well, they opened the whole thing up. When the thing opened up, they said, hey, what's really important and what's not really important? And they recognized the only thing that was really important was the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses us from all unrighteousness. And so they said, hallelujah, praise the Lord. And that's what we're going to do. And that's what they did. And so Peter's, that's what he's doing. You know what? And you know what? So there was some, you know, some Gentile people, and they They're like, hey, man, you know what, Peter? You know what? You want a ham sandwich, man? Making some bacon and eggs today? You know, it's going to be good. Want some? And Peter was like, yeah, I want some. And he was eating bacon and eggs, and he was eating ham sandwiches, eating all kinds of stuff that before he didn't touch. All kinds of stuff. And then some Jewish people came around. They're like, what's up, Peter? Listen. And so he started acting different. All of a sudden, he didn't want to eat with those people. All of a sudden, his tummy was full when it was lunchtime around those people. And Paul observes this, and he's like, wait a minute, Bucky, what's going on here? How come you acting different than you were acting before? But because before, I saw you were having a ham and cheese omelet right there with bacon, no problem. But now these guys come around and you allow them to intimidate you. How many know we need to not let sin intimidate us? We need to intimidate sin. Oh, listen. This needs to be understood in our society. Because right now, where we're living, there's all kinds of crazy standards. And we need to stand up and say, no, 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 no. That is not right. That is not acceptable. That is not going to save you. That is not going to benefit you. Yeah, but the majority of people are saying this. Who cares? Remember when your mama used to say, you know what? If Johnny jumped off the cliff, would you follow him off the cliff? Well, Johnny's going off the cliff. You know, Johnny's smoking dope, you know, and you know, all this stuff. Well, don't jump off the cliff with them. Amen. Amen. Listen to me. Don't jump off the cliff with them. That still is to be true. And we need to stand up, raise up a standard and that's what happened. Peter was being influenced by these other people that were there. Watch this. It's very important. That was sucking him back. Somebody say sucking him back. My second point, watch out that you do not go back to where you were. Watch out that you don't go back to where you were. Look at verse 16. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law. You and I, we're not going to be justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus. Somebody say faith in Jesus. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ. All eyes up here for a second. Paul is telling Peter, guys, and the Galatians, and us too. Listen, we were Jewish. I know Paul was Jewish. Peter was Jewish. And he's saying, watch this. Even we believed that Jesus Christ was the Messiah and that through the believing in him, we were going to be saved. Not by doing all these rules. Even us. Do you see that there? What he says? We have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law, no flesh shall be justified. Let's take a time out here. By the works of the law, no one will be justified. Let's say that together. By the works of the law, no one will be justified. Let's say it again. By the works of the law, no one will be justified. No one's going to be justified from the works of the law. Watch this. I'll prove it to you. How many know you're not going to be able to hang out with God with sin in your heart? It's just impossible. He's a holy God. It's impossible. Oil and water don't mix. Holiness of God's holiness and sinful men aren't going to be able to hang out in the same environment. It will not happen. It cannot happen. So let's say all of a sudden you have this revelation of every single little thing that you do wrong. And let's say that you get that revelation tonight and you walk out those two double doors and you don't ever do anything wrong for the rest of your life. Yeah, how many know that's a long shot? Amen? Come on, somebody say amen to this. But we're just talking. Pastor, you don't believe? No. Listen, I believe in you. You guys are awesome. And you know what? But let's say that happened because we're just talking. How many know if you were able to walk out those doors and never do anything wrong for the rest of your life, you still are in a heap of trouble? Here, let me just do a little survey. How many have sinned more, and I want everybody taking this survey, how many have sinned more than 10 times? I'm not talking about, no. You're going forward as today, and you're never going to do nothing wrong. I'm just talking about in your past. How many have done 10 things wrong? At least 10 things wrong, right? Everybody's voting. At least 10 things wrong. At least. How many did more than 100 things wrong? Raise your hand if you did more than 100. Oh, you ugly people, you. How many done more than 1,000 things wrong? Get out of town. You're kidding. How many think? I'm just asking. How many think you did more than 10,000 things? Oh, my goodness. You wretched things. More than 10,000? You're like, How many would raise their hand and recognize we did way more than 10,000 things wrong? Amen. See, how many know if you walked out the door tonight and never did anything wrong, we're in a heap of trouble. See, you and I have nothing that we can do that's going to take back all the things that we've done wrong. How we take that back? We don't got no thing to, you know, I say this all the time. Who's got a time machine? Do any of you have a DeLorean that will go back in time? I'm dating myself, you know, but do any have a DeLorean? Some of y'all, what's a DeLorean? Look it up on the internet. So all I'm saying is that, look at again in 16. Knowing that man is not justified by works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ. Even we're Jewish. But even as Jews, we now understand that it's only through Jesus Christ, watch this, that we might be justified by faith in Jesus Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law, no flesh shall be justified. But if while we seek to be justified by Christ, now watch this. He's going to talk about being hypocritical. Everybody say, while. But if while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners. Is Christ, therefore, a minister of sin? All eyes up here. Some of you don't even understand what he just said, but I'm going to teach you what he said. If I ask you, and I'm just telling you, be careful how you answer this, because most of us, many of us, because we have such a sin mentality, are going to answer this question wrong. But if I ask most of you, most people come to church, if I say, are you sinners? Most people, before they would even, they would just so quickly say, absolutely. See, you know where that comes from? It comes from a sin consciousness. But a righteousness consciousness would say, I was a sinner. I was a really good one, too. But I wasn't talking to this side. I was talking to this side. Sorry, got my sides mixed up. But now I have been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. See, listen, this is really, really important. It's really, look at it. But while if we are seeking to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners. He's saying, look, if we go back to this old kind of way, nobody's justified by the works. So what are you found? You're found a sinner. And I would proclaim, you know what, I grew up in a Baptist church. And let me tell you what, I thank God for my heritage. I thank God for what was taught. I was taught so much good doctrine. But one of the things that we were taught that was wrong in the Baptist church that I grew up in, that my dad pastored, was this, that we said all the time. We sang it all the time. We said it every Sunday. Well, we're just sinners saved by grace. And we thought that was biblical, and we thought that was spiritual. And let me say this. I mean, God bless those people. Let me tell you what. Those gracious people taught me so many wonderful things. Those gracious people. Let me tell you about those gracious people. Those gracious people were responsible for great portions of America accepting Jesus Christ. You be careful when you start bagging on being elitist, thinking you're better than everybody else because you know a little bit more than anybody else. Amen? You need to be careful as we are understanding and learning the importance of the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the filling of the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Holy Spirit, that we don't start, you know, putting our nose down to other people who don't know everything that we know. Might know some things you don't know. Amen? Having said that, but that was wrong. And what they were trying to do is they were trying to, I believe, good-hearted people, trying to walk in humility, trying to walk in humility, and trying to exalt Jesus Christ. Does that make sense? That's what they were trying to do. I would just say, quite humbly, that it's better to exalt Jesus Christ in saying that it doesn't make any difference what I did or how many times I did. It doesn't make any difference how good a sinner I was. The blood of Jesus cleanses me from all unrighteousness. And if I am been cleansed by all unrighteousness, then I am a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Listen, all the sin consciousness is going to make you do is sin more. And Paul is saying to Peter and a bunch of these other guys, hey, knock it off. We've been redeemed from that junk. Now listen to me very carefully. Their junk might not be your junk. How many in this room come from a Jewish background and you used to believe in a lot of, you used to wash your hands a certain way, you used to eat certain foods? How many in this room? Let me see, right here. That's what I thought. How many know that's not our deal? Amen? Come on, somebody say amen to that. That's not our deal. You say, how can we learn from this? Oh, we can learn from this. How many know just because our past isn't the same as Paul's past and Peter's past, we still got a past. And what we have to recognize is what we have to take principles. We can still learn principles from the Galatians. Here's the principle that we can learn as Pico Riverians. Amen. Here's the principle that we can learn. We can say, okay, wait a minute. Notice that the same junk that Paul and Peter specifically, was delivered from is the same junk that Satan is going back to tempt him and pulling him from. Watch this. Come on up here. So Richard is over here in a bunch of junk, whatever that junk is. You figure out what your junk is over here, you know, at Pioneer High School or at El Rancho or at wherever you did your junk. Kona Waya, wherever it was. So he gets delivered by the blood of Jesus Christ. Now but Satan comes. Notice, when Satan tempted Jesus, listen, we need to learn from the word. If Satan comes to Jesus to tempt him, how many know Satan's going to come to us to tempt him? So watch this. Satan is tempting Jesus. Jesus just used the word, it is written. This is what the Bible says. Satan leaves Jesus, and it doesn't say forever. You know what it says? He leaves him for an opportune time. You know what that means? It means Satan is waiting to come back to Jesus. He's looking for a spot. And if Satan does that to Jesus, Satan's going to do the same thing to you. And where he's going to do it to you is he's going to try to pull you back, usually, not all the time. Sometimes he'll lead you to another sin. But most of the time, he's going to try to pull you back to the junk that you came out of. Right? Is that right?
Because he
had us there in the first place. And he understands we have a tendency to go back to where we came. Thank you, Richard. Does that make sense? So where's he tempting Peter? Back to this law, works. You know what? You're saved by what you eat. How many know you're not saved by what you eat? Amen? You ain't saved by what you eat. Mm-mm. You're saved by the blood of Jesus. My second point. No, thank you. You're so kind. I'm reviewing my second point. Watch out that you don't go back to where you were. Now my third point, which is my last point. Now, somebody say now.
Now.
Now that you're born again, I live by faith in the Son of God. Look at this is my father's life verse 20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I live by faith in the Son of God. Somebody say, I live by faith in the Son of God. I live by faith in the Son of God. I live by faith in the just shall live by faith. What's faith? Faith is trusting in God. Amen. I'm going to crucify my, I died with God. Amen. When Jesus died, I died. All that selfishness, I died. All that sleeping around, I died. All that thinking that some man was going to fulfill me, that stupid thinking, I died with that. Listen, I don't know who I'm talking to, but you know what? You're sleeping around. You think that some other man can fulfill you. That man's not going to fulfill you. He's using you. You start dating someone who is respectful and doesn't want to just, you know, go to bed with you. Amen. You know, going out with these guys, and you're like, man, knock. I mean, just, hey, wrong guy. Can somebody say amen to this? Amen. Wrong guy. 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 Don't, he's not going to fulfill you. But when we start to think, listen to me, when we start to think, here's how we need to think. Whatever my past has been, here's what's going to get me to walk in victory. Me putting my trust in Jesus. I'm telling you what, if you get one sermon down this year, I shouldn't say that because, you know, how many know I got a bunch of other good ones coming up? I'll give you another chance to say amen. How many know got a bunch of other good ones coming up? I said that and I thought, oh my goodness, what I'm going to preach Sunday, it's going to rock your world. Having said that, Sunday sermon will rock your world. But it right up to this point, that's fair. Up to this point, if you had to get one sermon down, you know what? Get today. Today is the day. The sweet spot of today. See, your life, you got to wake up tomorrow just thinking, look, all I'm going to do is just serve God today. You know, if smoking dope was your go-to, then all you have to do is just say, I don't need to smoke dope today. I'm just going to serve God today. If gossip was your go-to, I'm just not going to gossip today. Getting drunk was your go-to. I'm not going to get drunk today. I'm going to put my trust in Jesus Christ. He is the one that's going to get me high. He is the one who's going to satisfy me. He is the one who's going to fulfill me. Because let me tell you what, he is the only one that will fulfill you. And all you have to do is put your faith in the Son of God. Amen? Then I'll try to pull you back. No, man, I'm gonna go on a diet for the next 80 days. Hey, just go on a diet tomorrow. Amen? Just don't eat 40 Twinkies tomorrow. Right? Because why? Because all we have to do is just put our trust in God tomorrow. But you know what I know? You know what I know in my heart? I know you can rock it tomorrow. I know you can. I know I can. I'll tell you what. I'm gonna fulfill my calling tomorrow. I'm going to get a good husband tomorrow. I'm going to be a good father tomorrow. I'm going to be a good friend tomorrow. I'm going to be a good pastor tomorrow. I'm going to serve God tomorrow. I'm going to love Jesus with all my heart. I'm going to put my trust in Him. That's all I'm going to do. That's what He's saying. Let me tell you what. We can't go back to that. You think you can't? Is it sin consciousness? No, you can. But let me just break it down for you. Let's just put our trust in God tomorrow. Right? Amen. How many in Academy of Righteousness were you, you know, like you walked away the first, like that the first afternoon that would, when Vegas went over this stuff, you're like, oh, I might have signed, I think I signed up for the wrong class. You know what I mean? Did I not tell you? If you can do it. I told the Academy of Righteousness students. I told, guys, listen. We will do everything we can to help you. But you got to do it. But I told you guys. I said, if you get by the first week, you got it. Because after the first week, you go from one. You're so hard to, oh, this is fun. Amen. How many enjoy listening to Faith Builders? How many did you change? And you're like, ooh, I wonder what crazy examples Pastor Drew's going to say to him on this new. Come on, somebody like that? Amen. Did you learn something tonight? Amen. Father, help us. Help us to recognize that you give freedom. That our past doesn't have to control us, that we don't have to be sucked back, and maybe our deal isn't Judaism, but we've got some stuff that we can get sucked back in, but we're not going to do that. We're going to put our trust in Jesus. Amen. In His name I pray. Amen. Can you say amen?
Amen.
I already told you, but I really, really, really am so excited about Sunday sermon. Please, not only come, but invite someone. And somebody say, invite someone. Can somebody tell me where the little cards are? George, do you know where the little cards are, the black cards? Can you give me one of them? Okay. Praise God. See, right here. Okay. So look at these. Aren't these cool? Look at that. Aren't those nice? Okay. In the back, they have the Sunday times and the worship and a Wednesday and stuff that with our website. Anyway, You can take these cards. Where are these cards? They're going to put them right in the back. So take some cards. Also, we have these other cards. They're a little bigger, and they're cool too. So load your gun. Be ready for one of the things that Tam and I hear God saying to us. I'm going to take a little bit more time. Is that okay? Just a little bit, I promise. One of the things that we hear God saying to us, really strong, just in the last 3 weeks, but it's so God, is saying you have to be more contending for the faith. What does that mean? There's got to be a more purposefulness. How many know we're in a fight? And we have to, exactly, we have to be more purposeful, more intentional. Listen to me. The stuff that is being unleashed on our country, and I would say specifically our state, is craziness. And we don't need to say, you know what, oh me, oh my. We need to say, oh Jesus, help us. But what I hear God saying is faith doesn't call Jesus down from above or up from the abyss, but faith has it on our mouth. So what I hear God saying, and God is saying it to Tamara and I, but God is not just saying it to Tamara and I, God is saying it to us, and He's saying, you have to be prepared. We need to pray more. We need to fast more. I know fasting is like freaky. I'm finding fasting is one of the healthiest things you can do. Listen to me. You ever get a little older and you're not thinking as fast as you used to think? This is a true story. Look it up on the internet. You know what fasting does? that's some stuff in your mind, and you got like this gobbledygook in your mind, in your brain, floating all around. And fasting clears up that gobbledygook. Look it up. How many know God's a smart guy? I'm not saying fast just to get smarter. I'm saying it's also incredibly healthy. You know what? Well, anyway, I don't got time to get it. I found it incredible as I started studying fasting that, you know what? God tells us to fast. I mean, no, God can take care of all kinds of things in one shot. Amen. And we need to fast more. We need to pay attention. We need to be led by the Spirit. We need to pray more. We need to pray in the Spirit. We need to be conscious. We need to turn off way more of the junk that we listen to and watch. All that's junk going in, you can't hear God. You won't be able to hear God. You're so off his radar. Pray. Fast. Seek God. Don't listen. Sunday is a special day. It's a special time. There's going to be, listen, God is speaking to us and saying there's going to be supernatural signs and wonders. And God is speaking to Tamara and I and saying, you're going to see it. You're going to see it. You're going to see it. But he's also telling us, but this isn't going to be just coincidental. The Spirit and the movement and the supernatural stuff that's going to happen in the body of Christ will not just happen at every church, but it will happen to my people, to my church that are seeking my face, that are passionate for the lost people. And the lost people will come from the north, from the south, from the east, from the west, hundreds and thousands. But they're going to come because my people are starting to call upon my name. They're starting to speak the truth in love. They're starting to say, no, 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 no. There is an answer. His name is Jesus. He is not only the one who could heal you from the inside, but he will heal you from the outside. He is not only the one that will heal your marriage, but he'll heal your junior higher. He'll heal your high school. He'll heal your marriage. He'll heal your life. He'll bring back a newness and a restore a life. And this is for every single person, no matter where they're coming from. But it's not going to happen. I hear God saying this. It's not going to happen coincidentally, and it's not going to happen to every church just because they have a cross or a steeple, or it's not going to happen that way. It's going to happen to people, and not just pastors, but pastors who will speak to their congregations and look at them in the eye and say, it's not up to Tamara and I. It's up to Tamara and I to lead and to give you the example, but it's up to you to start coming at 7:30 in the morning and being on your face here in God's house, praying for those people that are going to come at 9/11. What else we got to do? What else we got to do? Listen, if all we did was just, you know what, not have that omelet in the morning and instead come and be on our face, you know what? God honors that. He says that he's looking for people who are praying. And if we will pray, he will. And humble ourselves. What's humbling ourselves? Humbling ourselves is saying, God, I'm going to let you do it. I'm going to do what you tell me to do. I'm not in charge of my life. That's what Christianity is about. It's relinquishing control. It's saying, listen, I am going to allow people who lead me through the reality of the Word of God to instruct me, and I'm not going to resist because God is speaking through them to me, and it's not going to be my life anymore. I'm going to do what God says. I'm going to change my life. I'm not going to just come and come on just Wednesday. I'm going to come every single time the doors open. I'm changing the way I think. I'm giving my life away. We're running, folks, listen, we are running out of time. And the things that, listen, the things that God has placed on Tamara and my life, and the things that he's spoken to us, and the things that he's said is going to happen, it is going to happen. But let me tell you, it's going to happen through us. It's going to happen as we are saying, listen, we are going to take this by force. We're not passive anymore. Listen, if God is going to do what he's going to do, it's not going to happen to a passive church. Amen. So, amen. I'm not against you. I'm totally for you. I just need to speak the truth. And if I'm talking to you, praise God, no doubt. Amen. Who do you think I'm talking to? You know what I mean? Of course I'm talking to you. I mean, we were done 10 minutes ago. Amen? How many know the Holy Spirit wasn't done 10 minutes ago? Amen? We hear God saying there has to be a aggressiveness. You know what? Listen, God spoke to us about a year ago and said, you know what? You need to have more of a presence on social media. All these little things that God is saying, do this, do that, do. Now we hear God saying, no. And one of the things he's saying is this, you know what, Tamara and I are studying, you know what, the healing scriptures and how to move in the spirit concerning healing. Amen. So take advantage. Because let me tell you what, you got a lot of things in your church, but one of the things you have in your church are pastors that have a willingness to teach you. So you come in with a humble heart. You come in with your Bibles. You come in with your notepads. And you come in with your pens. And you come in with a humble heart that says, you know what? I need to learn some stuff today. I need to become a disciple. I am a disciple. And I'm going to allow Pastor Drew and Pastor Tamara and the leadership. You know what? Because let me tell you what. There are so many. How many of you recognize? I heard Carlos say to me, you know, I never heard Shayla teach. And after the first Academy of Rights level one, he got me back there. He said, oh, she can teach, can't she? Well, I've been telling you that. Listen, I won't put somebody up here that can't bring it. And I'm not talking about in a superficial way. I'm talking about led of the Spirit to hermeneutically teach the Word of God, able to bring out truths in the Word of God in an effective way. You know what? And we have a lot of good teachers at this church. Oh, Pastor ain't going to teach level one. Well, I'm teaching level two, amen? And you can't get in level two unless you get through level one, amen? But I knew anybody who goes through level one, they're just going to go, whoa. Tom, I'm talking about what the Holy Spirit is speaking to us about being proactive and aggressive and coming to prayer and coming with our Bible and coming ready, hungry. We need to come in hungry for the Word of God. We need to come in fasted and ready to go and say, God, man, God's going to do this. And God ain't just going to use, you know, Pastor Tamara and Pastor Drew, but God's going to use me. Amen? Amen. Oh, what was I talking about? Oh, yeah, the cards. Hallelujah. The cards. Hallelujah. Well, what are the cards? Let me tell you what the cards are. The cards are a practical move of the Spirit that God leaded us and guided us. See, that's how God does it. You get those cards. You don't listen. Do not leave. Do not leave without having some cards. Big cards, small cards, you know what I mean? And have them ready. Because people are going to come. And the Holy Spirit is going to say, like he said to me when the water guy came, hey, you invite the water guy. Oh, yeah, I got a card. Here you go. See, it makes a difference. See, no more just coming to sit, coming to get, you know what, fat. Don't be just a hearer and not a doer. Amen? You know what the Bible says to somebody who just hears but doesn't do? You know what the Bible says, calls them? He says, they're self-deceived. Now you come in with an attitude ready to do? What God spoke to you tonight? Whatever he spoke to you. How many did God speak to you tonight in something? How many when I was preaching, or even this last thing, is God, you hear God saying, hey, I'm talking to you, Bucky. Amen. Listen, how many know when God calls you Bucky isn't because he doesn't know your name? Amen. No, he knows your name. All right. Father, I know I prayed, but I'm going to pray again. Father, thank you. Help us. Father, we ask you. We thank you for your spirit. We thank you that this church is a church that is going to be obedient to do what you ask us to do. In Jesus' name I pray.